Welcome, friends, to Inspired Artist Podcast with your host, me, Sirgun Kaur. And today I am talking with two friends of mine, Monica Page Subia and Kelly Love, both Kirtan artists, mantra artists. Both of these beautiful women have been inspirations to me. I met Monica several years ago, and I have learned vast amounts of musical knowledge from her. She is a wellspring of musicality. She is truly an amazing chant leader and dharmic leader. She really leads with her heart, and you will hear that as she speaks about her journey to discovering kirtan. And I also wanted to mention that she is an amazing teacher. She loves telling the stories of bhakti yoga and teaching people how to connect with their own inner power and their love. And so she is teaching a 40-hour bhakti yoga immersion. If you're interested in connecting with her, you can email her at mpage1008@gmail.com to find out more about this beautiful experience that's happening in Phoenix, Arizona. Kelly Love, I met more recently, and she has become a part of my family. We don't mention it in the podcast, but we found out a year ago that Kelly actually worked in the town that I grew up in southern France, which is this very tiny community. So that was a funny thing to discover, especially since I talk with Monica about the different opportunities that we had had to meet each other, but we had met in perfect timing in Phoenix. I also wanted to mention that you'll hear Kelly come in a little bit late in this podcast, and it was super cute because she actually didn't realize we were taping a podcast. She thought we were just having a chat. So that's why she seems a little confused. I guess nobody gave her the memo. I hope you enjoy this episode. Whenever I get together with these women, it feels like girl chat at a slumber party. And we had a lot of fun. All right, so hi, Monica.
Hi.
It's now your turn to talk.
Well, thanks for having me, Sirgun. And yeah, it's been wonderful playing with you these past few years. And the cool thing is that most of you probably know that Sirgun does mainly Kundalini chants, and I do mainly Sanskrit, I guess you would call them bhakti chants. And it's been wonderful doing concerts together and combining these two traditions.
Yeah, for sure. And it's unusual, I think. I've never heard of anyone doing quite what we do.
No, me either.
Yeah. We just turned this unusual collaboration into its own recorded masterpiece called Loka. Longtime Sun, right?
Yes.
Where we combined the traditions, and it was pretty sweet.
Yes, it was wonderful. Yeah. It was your brainstorm. We were actually rehearsing over Skype, and you said, oh, let me put the Longtime Sun over that, and it really became something wonderful.
Yeah. Well, because we were trying to come up with a closing song that wasn't just yours or just mine. And so I asked you, how would you close a kirtan? And you said, Loka Samasta. And in the Kundalini tradition, we close it with Longtime Sun. Not necessarily, but it's a typical one.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that was cool.
Sweet.
Monica, you've had a super interesting life.
I have had an interesting life. I've had numerous lifetimes in one life. I guess most people do. But yes, I was born and raised in California. And in my teenage years, as many Southern Californians did, I started a band. And that led me to move to Amsterdam, and where I did played in bands and also composed music for dance. And in 2003, a seemingly bad, we have the seemingly bad and the seemingly good. A seemingly bad thing happened in that I injured my back, probably from sitting behind the computer forever, you know, editing music. And a friend of mine said, well, you should come to this yoga class with me because it'll help your back. And I went to this class, and it was Allison Kahn, who's now based in LA, and she was teaching this kick-ass yoga class, and she was playing this music. And I was like, what is that music? It was just from the word go. I was completely hooked. And she told me that she was based out of Svaha Yoga in Amsterdam. And so I went there and she said, you should come when we do kirtan. And so I went to their kirtan night and it was just amazing. You know, it was just a sort of meant to be kind of feeling.
It's so interesting because I have other people in my life like this too, but you're one of them where there were so many ways that we could have met possibly. So like yes. I was obsessed with Amsterdam. I was there one summer obsessed about trying to live there. It was total efforting and was not meant to be and everything went quote unquote wrong. But I could have met you then because I was getting into yoga then, didn't. Yeah. But, and then I also met Allison independently of you in LA. So we had that, you know, that communal, it's interesting.
Yeah. It's such a small world. And yes, what can I say? And Svaha Yoga is just an amazing place. The owners, Patrick Vermolen and Gustav Van Damme, had lived in New York in the 90s. And they were going to Jiva Mukti when it was still very small and Krishna Das was playing, I guess, I think they said every Monday night he would play at Jiva Mukti for maybe a few people.
Wow.
And so they caught the bug there. And when they moved back to Amsterdam from New York, they brought it there. And so they had been back in Amsterdam about 4 years when I met them.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's
there
just
so many stories that start like that too, where like the reason that we got into yoga or that, you know, someone's story starts the way that I got into yoga was I had this health problem and yes. someone told me that I should try yoga, you know, and then yes. lo and behold, you discover that it's this passion, you know, that you,
oh my with. God. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm eternally grateful to them and to the, you know, to God and the invisible forces that move us, you know, where we're meant to be. Yeah. And luckily I was already a professional musician. So, you know, starting to compose my own chants and learning other people's chants. And I actually started a mantra choir at Svaha Yoga. Because at the time I was in the conservatory and I was a total nerd. And in the conservatory, you know, we were singing the Bach and Mozart and these kind of, you know, 3 and 4 part harmony things. So I started taking the mantras and making harmonies out of them and like directing a choir. I don't even know.
That's hilarious. So they had like music that they were reading?
They didn't read music. What we would do is we would just, but most of them could sing harmony. So I would just teach, you know, the tonic to one. It was usually 2 or 3 part harmony. So one group would be the tonic, be the fifth. And I have a DVD somewhere. I'll have to show it to you one of these days because it's hilarious, but it was so much fun. It was great.
It sounds cool. It sounds like it would sound good.
It sounded beautiful.
Yeah. That's really neat.
Because, and that's the other thing about kirtan, is people just love to sing. And there's something about kirtan and about mantra that's very welcoming to people. You can just be how you are and sound like who you are. And I think that was one of the huge things that appealed to me also about kirtan and mantra is about the time I found Svaha, I was ready for a change out of the performing arts field because it's a very self-centered and egocentric kind of thing. And there was something so appealing to me about the fact that I could play and sing music, but it really had nothing to do with me as a personality at all. And I found that incredibly liberating.
Hmm. I think we've spoken about this too before, is that it's interesting because the way I got into music, or the way it became such a passion, was because of this constant positive feedback loop, right? Like, oh, you're so good at that. Oh, I want to keep doing this because I want people to keep telling me that I'm so good at something. And, you know, so it can be so ego driven. And I think that motivated me for sure to do it as long as I have. And then to come into a practice where you discover that there's another way to do it.
Yes.
Very expansive and really cool.
Yes. 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 And I was lucky to have the time with Patrick and Gusta and Allison, because I spent years just sitting in the crowd with them and not leading. And I really only started leading Kirtan 10 years ago when I moved to Phoenix. I got to Tempe, and the first thing I did was Googled Kirtan Tempe, and there wasn't anything. So I met this woman who had a studio, and I said, can I do a kirtan at your studio? And so the first kirtan had like me and two other people, and it just gradually, and luckily, I think it was around 2012 or 2013 when Nacho introduced me to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. We played a couple festivals, and then I got sick for a few years and laid in bed. But, you know, that was another amazing thing, is when I was bedridden, the only thing I could do was every day for at least an hour or two, I could prop myself up and get my guitar, and I would just play mantras.
Mm.
And it really helped me get through it and remember who I was and remember, you know, why I'm here and who God is and all that stuff.
Yeah. Powerful.
Yeah.
And you wrote some really beautiful music during that time too.
You know, I really did. Oh, hey, Kelly's here.
There she is.
Yes.
Her
so
photo, it's like, whoa, the goddess has ascended.
But you know, the Bhagavan Das said, the winds of grace are always blowing. We just have to raise our sails. And I think in any state we're in, if we even just have to raise the sails, I think grace will really carry us through even the most difficult times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was the best thing that could have happened to you. You know, just like the thing with your back that brought you to yoga, you know, I'm sure there were things that opened up as a result of, I mean, you know, not that any of these processes are necessarily pleasant, but I've had such, you know, do you have, they're big. They get your attention.
They certainly do. And I can honestly say, as of today, September 16th, 2019, I have absolutely no regrets.
Hmm. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. None.
So what a gift, man.
Yes. That's a gift of grace too.
Yeah.
To have no regrets.
Well, hey, I'm going to introduce or invite Kelly to speak too. Is your microphone on? Hey.
Hey guys.
Hey, Ma.
Thanks for inviting me.
Kelly often sings with us too, and she's also a chant artist. You look really surprised. Did that surprise you that you sing with us?
Are there other people on this Zoom?
This is a podcast, love.
It's the three of us, Ma. It's me, you, and Sirgun.
Okay.
I did mention, no, oh, you know what? No, I didn't. No, Monica invited you. That was on you, Monica.
Oh my gosh. So
this is not live. This is being recorded. I'm going to post this, and this will become a podcast. So.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so welcome.
Thank you so much.
Inspired artist.
What's the topic that we're talking about?
There is no formal topic. There's no formality. I'm not editing any of this. I want this to be like one of those fun conversations we have backstage that other people get to listen to. You know? Because I think people hear enough of artists with their like rehearsed answers, you know, and their autobiographies and stuff. And that's all nice. I mean, I'm interested in that too, but this type of podcast in the spiritual music scene, I felt didn't exist yet. So I wanted to make it.
I mean, one of this subject that I'm doing right now with music isn't that fun. It's all about scheduling at Bhakti Fest and the artists' schedules being changed. And
are you working for Bhakti Fest now?
Yeah. I'm not working. I'm just playing music.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Well, I guess that's kind of, yeah, that's the funnest work.
Cool.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of changes going on. So, I mean, that's what's happening. We're just trying to figure out our schedule.
Uh-huh.
It's not very spiritual.
It's all spiritual.
It is spiritual. It's so divine.
It's divine scheduling.
Yeah.
So yeah, so Monica and I were just talking a little bit about how we met, and Monica was sharing her, you know, how she came to be a kirtan artist and chant. And you know what's so amazing to me that I think cannot be overstated about you, Monica, is that you created the kirtan scene in Phoenix.
I mean, yes.
That's a significant thing. Props to you.
Well, I co-created it with all the people who started coming to the kirtans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you had the vision.
And I just had to have it the way I need to have oxygen or water. You know, it was a necessity, you know, really. And then thank God Prem Vidu carried it on when I, you know, was on the rocks. And
yeah, well, that's what I was going to say too. So you like, you created it, it was going, it was like this train that, you know, you didn't need to push. I don't know, maybe that's not the best image, but you know, you created it. So therefore when you had a moment where you couldn't be the one doing it, then someone else held the torch. Is that maybe a better image?
Yes. And I think he really expanded it. And I do have to say Cassandra Bright Wallach at Gilbert Yoga, she was having some well-known kirtan artists come through her studio.
Mm.
So that was a big factor too.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure there were some other big touring artists. So what I mean is not that you were the first kirtan artist ever to perform in the Valley, but it was a regular thing that was going on as a result of your wanting to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was for my own selfish ends, so I could be at kirtan as often as possible.
Yeah, I know. I often rehearse my award speeches. Do you ever do that? And when I do, it's always like, thank you so much, but you know, I really do this for myself.
Totally. but luckily, it's for the capital S self.
Yeah.
Whereas as when I was, you know, playing in bands and everything, I mean, probably a portion of it was capital S self, but most of it was little s self.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, otherwise I would, you know, be mentally ill.
Exactly.
I would be depressed, you know.
Yeah, I would just be a bitch and or an asshole, you know. Just be kind of a combo of those, right. And no one wants that.
That's awesome that the audience gets something out of it too, you know.
Exactly. The audience and everyone else I have a relationship with.
Yeah, that too.
God. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
You guys are funny. Funny friends. By the way, Sirvan, I haven't seen you.
I know. It's been a while.
Virtual.
You're in Phoenix now, not just like on my computer screen in Phoenix, right?
I just arrived.
Cool. Like, welcome back.
2 days ago. And Monica and I are actually going up to the ashram in 2 days.
Woo-hoo! Cool. In New Mexico.
Ashram.
Oh, nice. I have a friend actually who's there now, living there. His name is Andrew, and he's in my boot camp.
Does he have long hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him. He is so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a sweet guy.
I'm so happy I'll get to see him.
Yeah. So what do y'all do while you're down there?
We do our tea in the morning, and we drink chai and do seva and just sit in front of Baba's picture and cry and pray and laugh, bliss out to the man, chant a lot.
A lot of chanting.
Yes.
Fun. When it's chanting down there, is it more like monotone chanting, or is it musical like you're doing?
It's musical.
Musical?
Yeah, very musical. There's a couple harmoniums like placed in different, you know, in different temples, and you just go up and play whatever is on your heart or in your heart.
Nice. Oh, so everyone gets to lead?
Yeah, anybody can do their prayer.
Oh.
And sometimes people are just doing it by themselves. You'll walk by a temple and someone's just doing their chalisa. It's so sweet.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yes, that's what we'll do. There is many, many chalisas.
Many chalisas.
Yeah.
That's cool. I remember when you were rehearsing for, was it Shakti Fest this last time? Yeah. You guys got into the chalisa. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. And that's we're going to record it.
Oh, are you?
Yes. So stay tuned.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when we discovered how talented Kelly was at clapping.
Yeah.
And we really missed it this last kirtan.
We did. I tried to lead the clapping, but it just wasn't happening. We needed you, Kelly.
I missed you guys so much. Oh, I was feeling it so big time.
So you've been traveling a lot, Kelly. I've been seeing a lot of photos of you taking Kundalini yoga classes.
Oh my gosh. So I was in LA. I was in Topanga Canyon, and I thought to myself, I have to get into Tasia's class since I'm here. And yes, I took her class. I was like 30 minutes late, and I was so happy that she was just starting the opening prayer, of course. And then, you know, we got into the practice, and all of a sudden I hear a very, very familiar voice. And so I pulled out my phone really quickly and storied the Kriya with Sirgam playing. I was like, hey! Awesome. Yeah, I love that. That was great.
It's fun to, in the Kundalini yoga scene, it's such a small, you know, close-knit kind of community that I was discussing with someone the other night. Actually, I went to go see JP Sears, the comedian, the other night, which was hilarious. But I was discussing with someone, it was like, when you discover that, you know, you could be somewhere and Sanatam could just be standing next to you, and how different that is when you, cause you, you know, you listen to her music and then you're having a conversation with her. No big deal. Or at least, you know, now it's no big deal. At the time I was like, what? I get to have a conversation with this person whose CDs I listen to. But you know, when you're listening to like Madonna, that seems a little bit, you seem like a little bit more removed. But yeah, when you're listening to music in a Kundalini yoga studio, you probably have met the person who whose music is being played, or even in, you know, any sort of yoga class if they're playing mantra music. But that's why I love that movie Mantra. Did you guys see that?
Not yet.
Oh,
I don't know where I can see it.
Yeah, I don't either. Actually, it's, I like saw a screening.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm waiting, like, to everyone you know in a movie.
Yeah.
Love that. That's my favorite thing about going to yoga asana class. I'm like, sun salutation. Oh, there's Sirgun. There's Girish. It's so fun. Our whole family.
Yeah, it's a small world. It's a small yoga world.
Yes.
But yeah. So what else is going on with y'all?
Kelly, tell us.
Well, oh my gosh. Hold on. I wrote a song. Okay.
Yes.
I forget about this because I don't know. I just wrote a song the other day with my friend Melissa.
Uh-huh.
We were sitting in a temple that belonged, like a house I was staying in, and they have this beautiful temple overlooking Topanga Canyon. And we were just, suddenly we got inspired. We were going for a walk in nature because it's Topanga, you know. And we got so inspired and both of us started to cry, like just a spontaneous like tear festival. And we were like, oh my gosh, okay, so let's go write a song right now. Cause we were like, you know, charged up. So we pulled out this big drum. What's that big drum called? The one where you just like
frame drum?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
We pulled out my iTopple Pro and then we pulled out a harmonium. That's it. And we were like, okay. We picked the tabla, the tempura, and then like just started to write this beautiful song to Mother Earth. And I mean, I don't mean to say it's beautiful, but I mean, it is beautiful because
it's beautiful.
Mother Earth. Like, come on.
I haven't heard it yet and I think it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Just like, we had tears through the majority of the thing, the process, and we wrote out all these lyrics. She was like, lyric, and I was like, lyric, 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 and then we wrote them out, and then we put arrows, like we reordered the lyric, because we were just like throwing, like all this like stuff was just coming out about the Divine Mother and the earth and the state of the earth. And so now we have this scribbled paper, which we can only look at now. I mean, we haven't memorized this time, but we tried to write it in order and we were like, what is going on? So we brought back like the scribbled paper and we played the song, and one of our good friends called like a sort of a private kirtan. Kia was there too.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. And there happened to be a producer that came. And I was like, at the end, I'm like, I'm really manifesting like a Seva single. And then like one day later, we got an email and it was all, it's done. We're it's going to DistroKid now.
Congratulations.
And we have one person who's a super well-known drummer, and the name has slipped my mind, but Benjamin, our producer, was like, this guy, he's played with so-and-so and so-and-so, and I'm, you know, like, it's kind of going in and out my ear, and then we get another email, and we're like, he is going to do a remix on your song to today's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Today. Which I haven't
Well, no,
yet.
Today is Monday.
Ah, today is Monday. Wednesday.
So we can do Wednesday. Wow.
So it's called Breath of Earth. And I don't know, like, you know, I've been like, you know, I lived in New York City and I was like auditioning for Broadway musicals a lot. Since I was like 9 years old, I've been doing like Broadway musical theater stuff and writing like little da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, little, you know, cutesy Broadway Annie sort of songs. And like, there was something so, I mean, I haven't cried, and it wasn't like crying, but I haven't been so emotive as I was during that process. And like, it wasn't like a dramatic presentation like we would do if you're on the stage. It was like so heart-centered and so flowing. Like, it just, like, it was just almost like the song just is like not, it's not even my song, it just went like out, like it's just like a gift. And I don't know, it was a beautiful experience. I feel like I can say it's kind of like my first It's my first recording as a non-Broadway musical or operatic singer. It's my first spiritual, like, divine Saraswati offering that will be out there in the world. And so I'm super excited.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you, that whole description of how the song came to you and how you wrote and everything, I mean, that's why I called this the Inspired Artist Podcast, right? Or Inspired Artist Podcast. Cause that's how I feel the best art is, or like the genuine, like the authentic mm-hmm. stuff, you know. It's just, it's like you become this vehicle through which it manifests. And it is, it's not personal, you know, but it just so happens that you're like the unique, you have the unique qualities for this thing to come through you, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, people say that, you know, my colleagues, you know, they're like, oh, this song just came through me. And I understand, like, of course, it's like, you know, a lot comes through us every, all day. And this time when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, I understand what that means now, because nothing was pressed or pushed or derived. It was just like, oh, what just happened? Amazing creative bursts, like yeah. birth. So I feel like I love that I can just relate, and I love like this like inner almost excitement and motivation and just like inspiration to just kind of keep my eyes open for all the intimate beauty around that is just inspiring. And yeah, that's, I'm super excited about the path, like this shift in the path. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah. That was fun. I liked hearing people talk that enthusiastically. And it wasn't just the inspiration for the song. It was like it was like the birth of the song plus the recording of it plus the remix. You know, it was like this whole package that just flowed, right?
Yes.
Because, yeah.
It's just so flowed. Cool. So I feel like I can relate to you guys now in such, it's so special though. It's like the divine goddess like coming through you. And I, sometimes it sounds a little cheesy when people say that, but honestly, like I have a whole new way of seeing and feeling that, like, okay, I cannot wait to hear your next, like no pressure. But like, I just can't, like, so excited, like, you know, for everybody's birthing, like that birthing of that creativity. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next one's the Chalisa.
That's, well, I have a few things in line in the queue. But yes, the Chalisa, I have a couple of my own singles. I have one of yours that I've been wanting to remix for months and months. Yeah. I'm producing the Svaha Yoga's Kirtan Mantra CD. So there's a lot going on, but it's like Kelly was just saying, there's nothing, it's the best feeling of the world when you sit down, when we sit down in our studio and it just washes through us. I mean, it's the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just not even prioritizing that time, but just well, yes, that is what it is. But that's my problem, is like there are so many cool things to do and so many great songs, and I just got to knock them out one at a time.
Yeah, well, it'll happen. And you know, you did just move.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly.
Can I add two things? One thing is the Caring Coalition CD also.
Yes.
I don't know about this.
You know about.
No, yeah, I know about Caring Coalition. I don't know about the CD. Well, tell our listeners what the Caring Coalition is, first of all. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, oh, hold on.
Kelly.
Hold on, what?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'll tell our listeners what the Caring Coalition is. You want to go? Go ahead, Kelly.
You go ahead. I took a lot of air already.
That's okay. People are going to hear my voice a lot on this podcast.
Okay, go. Okay. So Monica's producing this CD in addition with somebody else. I don't know, but that's what I know for sure. And it basically, all of us in Phoenix are contributing one or two songs. I think it's one song each onto this CD that is really a Save Us CD, and all of the proceeds from that album will go to Caring Coalition.
Cool. Yes, and Caring Coalition is a Phoenix-based group that feeds hungry children in the area. Outrageous when you think there are, I don't know the numbers, but there are a significant amount of children in Phoenix who get food at school during the week, but on the weekends they have no food. So Caring Coalition is feeding. It's insane in our country in this day of time that people would not have food. But so Caring Coalition is feeding them. And so we donate, you know, some of the kirtan proceeds. And so it was actually Jeff Merkel, who's providing the studio, had the idea to make a benefit CD that we could sell, and the proceeds go to Caring Coalition.
That's fantastic.
But Sergun, I thought we talked about it, because
are these going to be live recordings?
It can be anything. We can maybe put some of the a few of the live Joyful recordings actually came out pretty good.
Listen to those.
We can put anything on it. So, like, for example, if you want to put something you've already done on it, that's, you're allowed to. Or if you want to put something new on it. So everyone gets to put whatever they want on it. And Jeff is donating the studio time, and I can help produce it. Whatever artists need a producer, I can help produce their track.
Wow, what a great idea. I love that.
I think
this is the first time hearing of this.
Oh my God. I totally thought we talked about it. Jeepers.
That's fine. It's fun to be invited to be on a CD on a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Yeah. This is the Inspired podcast.
I know. Yeah.
Can I add a question?
So yeah, you don't have to ask. You were invited. You keep talking.
Okay. How do you guys feel? Because the song, The Breath of Earth, is a collaboration experience. How do you guys feel about doing collaboration experiences versus just doing a solo work?
Well, in my experience, it's all collaborative anyway. Unfortunately, or I don't know, it's just the way that it turns out. But like, so my biggest selling and most listened to album is The Cosmic Gift, right? But that was very much a collaboration with Ram Dass. And his name features on the actual, you know, the printed CD, because it says produced by Ram Dass, arranged by Ram Dass, you know, and a lot of the songs even we co-wrote together. But because it's my name as the artist, it doesn't look like it's a collaboration. I think he's going to be on this podcast too. But right now I pretty much only do collaborations, and I really like it. I like it a lot more than doing the solo stuff.
Yeah, I feel that also, that being in collaboration with your friends is, I don't know, it's so beautiful. Yeah. What about you, Monica?
Yeah, I love it too. Oh, I absolutely love collaborating. And I think it's really in the spirit of kirtan that, you know, things are a group effort. And I agree with Sirgun, pretty much everything you make is a collaboration anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I make.
Yeah, that's why I really love your payment model too, Monica, where it's just split, you know, the drummer makes the same thing as the singer, as the violist, as the, you know.
I love it too.
Yeah. It's a very, very, a very good model. What's that?
Is a good model. I have to say that Monica has just, I mean, I've learned so much from you, Monica, in that regard, with just from beginning to end of Kirtan, entering and the whole way through. And I mean, it's been such an inspiration to sit by you. Thank you.
Likewise.
I will second that. And I'll probably talk more about it in the intro that I do for this, but I have learned so much from Monica. I can't even begin to list the stuff. I mean, I didn't really like performing before I started doing Kirtan with you. And I think that has to do a lot with the collaboration, because it's like, yes, it's such a nice dynamic. It's like, you know, it's not me, it's me and Monica, or Monica and me, you know, and everyone else. Ooh, the revolving door.
I just have, exactly. It's just so much fun. I mean, it is just so much fun. And it's so joyful and so effortless. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. The musicianship that you bring to it is really, really cool. Like, you don't just, you know, go, okay, we're going to fade in and it's going to get big and then we're going to fade out. You know, you have like a whole story you tell with your song arc, and there's pauses and there's like false endings, and you know, it's awesome.
Drama queen.
Yeah, and then like the badass way that you direct everyone is just, I love it.
Control freak.
No, not in a controlling way. Like, you just know, you're like, this is it. You know, you like, you're like, to the bass player, now, you know, to the drummer, this, you know, this is it.
Yeah. It's that feeling, you know, when you just feel that fire, you know, it's that fire in your solar plexus, and it's just like, it's just a very immediate thing, you know? It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a childlike thing. You know how children just like spontaneously freak out over just something that's awesome to them? That's how I feel in Kirtan.
Nice.
But I must say, it's because the reason that that can all happen is because all of you are also such amazing musicians. And the people, the group of people that we play with here in Phoenix, I mean, the musicality is off the charts.
Yeah.
It's really something else.
Yeah, we're very blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
A moment for these wonderful musicians. Actually, some of them I've invited to be on the podcast too, so we're going to hear more from them. But yeah, I didn't realize what sort of, you know, musical wealth there was in Phoenix. But there is.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, is there anything else y'all would like to talk about?
Oh my gosh. I guess how thrilled I am at the Kirtan scene here and what we're all doing.
Yeah, I'm gonna say yes to that. And also, I think it feels like a family, really. And I think that it's amazing how we all play together, like, intermittently. I mean, you never know who's going to be at a kirtan playing with each other, and whoever can get there gets there. And again, I've learned so much bhakti, so much of the, of like with the stories about the divine, and just experienced such sweet connection with everybody here in Phoenix. And I'm just talking about Phoenix because this is where we are. And I feel like it's strengthened my personal devotional practice to be with you guys and to be able to check in with you guys. And like, randomly, like the other day, I text Jürgen like in a rush. I was like, through Instagram. I don't know why. I was like, what am I going to do? So I just texted Jürgen. I was like, what is that mantra that you have to chant, like that you chant and you can't complain afterwards? And she just like,
oh yeah.
I'm sure she looked at the text and was like, oh boy, here's Kelly. And of course,
I did not. You don't know what I was thinking.
Delete backspace on that. But I guess my point is like, how amazing is that, that I can just randomly and spontaneously text Monica, any of you, Vidu, Cassandra, Sirgan, like just random questions that really enhance my personal practice and helps me so much, and which helps everybody, you know? I appreciate our Phoenix family so much. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and when is this podcast airing?
Probably in a week.
Ah, then there's still time if you are local to the Phoenix area to sign up for the Bhakti Immersion, the 40-hour Bhakti Immersion starting on October 12th at Gilbert Yoga.
Tell us
about
that.
So you can friend me. Yes. It is 40 hours of everything Bhakti, the stories, the mythology, the chants, the Sanskrit pronunciation, some asana practices, energetic practices, for, you know, living the Bhakti lifestyle and sort of navigating your way through life as a Bhakta. Because Sirgun, you have the sensitive superhero tribe, and we know that, you know, these practices tend to attract, it's sort of a paradox. It attracts those of us who are extremely sensitive, and then it kind of makes us more sensitive. And then what do you do with all that? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, navigating life as a Bhakta and using the practices to fortify yourself and to deal with the tremendous information and feelings and emotions and perceptions that those of us who are very sensitive and empathic have to deal with like on a daily basis. So it's awesome. It's the whole Bhakti trip. And we have Dr. Gregory Basden, who's a doctor of Vedic mythology. Cassandra Bright Wallach is also teaching in it with me, and you are coming for part of it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to teach a little bit about Kundalini mantras. So,
yes.
Yeah. And I love listening to you tell stories in kirtan. That's so fun. I remember this one time we were about to do, was it the Kali chant? And you had everyone imagine that there was like an elephant, or was it a tiger walking?
Oh, it was a lion.
A lion. And there, yeah. You had like the whole like soundscape going on with the drummer going, and you were doing something on the guitar that was real echoey and ambient. It's cool.
I don't that was amazing.
Yeah.
We were
the story. Yeah, the stories are they're so incredible and archetypal, and that's the beautiful thing. You know, we all have those deity aspects in us, and yeah.
So
I don't have a conclusion
more than that,
to that.
But well, I was gonna say it'll be so much exactly. Just to hear Monica talk about, or just to hear Monica tell stories with music behind it, I would think well worth it.
yeah, that's gonna happen too. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it was so fun, as I knew it would be, to have both of you on here. Do you have any final words or goodbyes?
We love you. We love everyone who's listening to this podcast. Jay Ma.
All right. Love you both and good night.